This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Yeah, there you have it, folks. The Final Four is set. Welcome in to BetQLU as we get you ready for the Final Four. It is UConn, Purdue, NC State, Alabama. That is your Final Four of the season. Two teams that I think we certainly expected and two teams that we most definitely did not. So we'll be breaking down those games, get into some bets there a little bit later in the show. Also, some coaching changes that we will touch on. The carousel is spinning around. So we'll touch on that. I'm John Martin, as always, joined by RJ Choppy. RJ, listen, I would say just at first glance, the best thing is we have the two best teams still in this thing, right? I mean, we didn't have that last year, and we do now.
Yeah, I mean, you've got one team that is a dominant force, and then you have another team that has the dominant force. And I think that's the big issue is that, you know, how does one stop the other? Let's be fair. I mean, like, UConn is a much more complete team than Purdue is, but Purdue has something that nobody else has, and that's something that he's a monster. Like, Zach Edey's just a monster, man. Like, he is such a force inside there underneath. That, yeah, like, you know, these are the two, you know, the best teams right now. You know, and I don't know who the third and fourth best teams would be if you were to worry about them today. You know, we just take the four best teams of the entire tournament, but NC State and Bama certainly deserve to be there based on how they have approached this thing. And yeah, you can always make the case, well, would Houston have been here if Shed didn't get hurt? And you know, what about this? And what about that? Doesn't matter, man. You know, like, they're there. And it's, I'm sorry, NC State, would they have gotten there if Houston didn't get some injuries? They're there. And now, like, I know the fans and I know the committee has hopes of what the Final Four, the final game is and final game isn't. You know, you don't want to see a massacre out there. And I think we want to see that collision course with the two best teams that have been essentially the two best teams all year.
Yeah, no, look, you can play that game, and you can play it every year with every team. And that's the beauty of this thing. That's why we love it so much. I say it every week, it feels like, but I did feel absolutely devastated for Kelvin Sampson in that group though, RJ, because mm-hmm. I mean, we'll never know, but it looked like they were well on their way to go into the Elite Eight. I mean, with Chet in there, they were, you know, really, I mean, they started the game on an 8-0 run and they were up 16-10, and it just kind of felt like Duke would not have an answer for the physicality. But what happened, it wasn't just that, oh, you know, you lose Jamal Shedd's production, which they did. It was really everything he represented, right? It was everything Jamal Shedd meant. And you can't just replace that on the fly in the same game against a good team. They just look shell-shocked, and they never and they fought right. Hard, but they never really stabilized after he left.
No, you can't. They would have much rather have lost him on Wednesday than on Friday. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they would have given him a second to prepare, catch the breath, figure things out. Yes. You lose him in the first half. It's like, okay, like now what are we going to do? You got 12 minutes at halftime to figure this out. You lose him in the second half. It's like, well, you got no time to figure it out. So, yeah, there's a time and a place to lose your star player. And the time is not the final week of the season. It's not during the middle of a game in the tournament. It's January. It's December. To give you some time to figure things out and see what you have and see who you have. It ain't now. That's not the time to do it. You know, these teams – look, and that's this goes to show you, man, like what it takes to make the Final Four. What it takes to make it. Like, you have to get a good draw. You've got to get lucky, man. I mean, like, Alabama makes their first Final Four. They had to go through Carolina, but they didn't have to go through Carolina and Arizona, right? You didn't have to go through that. You know, it's that's the thing. I mean, if you look around, you know, Illinois had to go through Iowa State and UConn. Tennessee had to go through Creighton and Purdue. Sometimes you get dealt a draw. Sometimes you get dealt some upsets, and sometimes you don't.
No, I think that's a great point. I mean, it's not even about just playing well, you know. It's about staying healthy. It's about and we talked about Houston. Houston's had bad, injury fortunes in this thing the last few years. Sasser last year, you know, Shedd this year. And they got good fortune when they went on the Final Four run because they played double-digit seed after double-digit seed. You know, like good luck and bad luck has many different ways of manifesting itself, you know, in this tournament. And Houston's kind of lived it all. I mean, that for me, obviously we'll talk about the games, the final two games, but I just feel like for me, the takeaway is like Houston had a run in them that we never got to really see. And they're going to feel like forever that they, you know, I mean, they got unlucky. And so there's unfortunately not much you could do about that, but you know, that maybe what could have been, because I saw them here in Memphis against Texas A&M and it was as gutty a win as you can have. Four players fouling out, sending Texas A&M to the free throw line a million times, giving up all those offensive rebounds, still winning. It has kind of felt like after they lost Shedd, RJ, that just like, damn, we've given everything we have just to be in this game and just to beat Texas A&M, you know? And that is the cruelty of March. It is relentless, man. It demands the most every single day. And it's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's hard to get here. It's hard to get to that spot. Dude, it's hard to make the Elite Eight. I mean, how many teams have just continued to flame out in the Sweet 16 every year or the round of 32? Kentucky can't even get to the Sweet 16 right now. You know, it's just hard to get here, dude. Like, my school's been to the Elite Eight twice. Never been to the Final Four. Came close. Came close twice. Never been there. It's hard. You've got to get a draw. You got to get a good draw in a year where you get a really good team. You know, you've got to have that. You got to get a little lucky along the way. And it's just difficult. Like, and then for a team like NC State and Purdue, like, to think they haven't been to a Final Four since Michael Jordan was in college, that's a long time ago. It's a long time ago, man, for both those schools. And, I mean, they there are schools like Alabama getting their first. Did the SEC forget about basketball for 50 years? Like, is that what happened? Because a lot of these schools are like making, like, Auburn made their first Final Four 1 year, then Alabama makes it. And it's like, okay, so it was just basically Kentucky. It was basically just Kentucky figuring things out in the SEC, maybe a little bit of Arkansas, too. The SEC just forgot about football or basketball for half a century. And it, you know, now they've gotten into it. They're really good. Now you get a team like Alabama who makes a run.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's absolutely nuts that Alabama's in this thing. It's just, again, the variance. On Tennessee, obviously, we've talked a lot about Tennessee this year. It's hard to – there was nothing shameful about that game for them against Purdue. They just could not defend Edie without fouling. Now, do you think that that was mostly correctly called? Do you think that Purdue was getting the benefit of the doubt with the whistle. Like, just from your vantage point, what did you think about the way that game was officiated?
I thought there were two that I had a problem with, so I can't really say I have a major problem with them. I thought, you know, maybe Edie could have been called for one or two other fouls. I mean, that's the one that I really had an issue with was he was on the offensive end. He had the ball down low. He wraps it up like, you know how you get a rebound and you wrap it up, both arms around it?
Yep.
He does that, yep. But then he moves his arms up like that with the ball still there, and they call that a shooting foul. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, that's not a shooting foul. You're not trying to shoot the basketball there. Like, you want to call it a common foul, fine, but that's not a shooting foul. I didn't have major gripes. I mean, was it, you know, the nature of the way Purdue plays and the way you've got to defend him, you're gonna foul more, and that's just the reality of it. Now, could they have called a couple on him on the other end? Yeah, I think maybe one or two, but that certainly wasn't going to put him in foul trouble. It wasn't going to foul him out. He barely came out as it was, so I didn't have a major issue with how the game was officiated. You know, they had some shots when they had to at the end, and we didn't score for the final couple minutes. It was there. It was tied at 60 with three minutes to go. We had a chance.
Yeah. I was super impressed with connecting that game. I mean, because it was just, he was the focus. He was the only person who was doing anything offensively, and yet he was keeping Tennessee in the game. I think that's the, if I'm a Tennessee fan, that's, it ain't about the, it, to me, it ain't about the fouls. It's about the fact that nobody else could help Dalton connect on the offensive end. I mean, where was Ziegler's shot? Where was, you know, Josiah Jordan James consistently? Viscovi gave you nothing. You know, that's sort of where, that would be my frustration with Tennessee basketball if I'm a fan today.
Yeah, I didn't think Josiah had a terrible game. I don't think they got him the ball enough, which means he didn't get open enough. Ziegler, I think he was just gassed. I mean, he played 40 minutes in the previous game, and that previous game, they played that game at 10 o'clock, and this one started at like 2. It was like 36 hours earlier, not even a full 2 days. I think he was just gassed. I think that's all that was. I don't think it was anything that – anything more than that, and that's the reality of it. He was tired and he couldn't make a shot. He did nothing. He wasn't great defensively. He couldn't shoot. That was basically it. They ran into a mutant of a human. Like, he is, man. He is a mutant, is Zach Edey, and they, I don't feel bad about it. Look, the Michigan State loss from 2010 still hurts way worse. We were better than Michigan State. Way better than Michigan State. And should have won that game. Gave it away. That one hurts way more than this one does. Losing to Creighton would have hurt more.
Right. Yes. No, there's no question. And again, like I said, we'll get to Edie and we'll get to the matchups there. But, I mean, that's that game – you know, just personified the advantage, right? That you have when you have and again, he's climbing up the NBA boards too. It's not just the college game, but when you can have a 7'4" guy who can catch the ball with soft hands, and that's why, again, and we'll touch on this. I don't want to like give too much away here, but in a matchup with UConn, I think for those reasons, you have to give Purdue way more of a puncher's chance than they seem to be given at this current time. Because he also, I think the other key with Edie in that game, 33 seconds he sat, and that's it. I mean, man of that size sat 33 seconds in a game they had to have. That's almost unheard of, RJ.
Yeah, for a guy, for him to be able to play that much. That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive. There's no other way you can shake it. That is an impressive amount to play. And he didn't seem like he was getting very tired either. He really didn't. It was pretty good. It was pretty cool to see him do that. And I want to see what he does. Now, you know, UConn, you know, they've got better bigs. You know, we try to throw a bunch of fouls at him. We did the hack a shack, and the problem is he makes his free throws. You know, this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting what Burns has against him. It's going to be interesting what UConn has if they get there.
Yeah, I thought the other thing real quick here before we get to break, Illinois. Illinois, I thought, spontaneously combusted against UConn. I just feel like, you know, of all the strategies in the world, I know you play a certain way. I know it's hard to adjust it on the fly, but you can't possibly believe that your best way to win is going to be attacking Klingon. You're trying to get that second foul on him. You're failing. At what point, RJ, do you say we have to try something else? And it's got to be before you're down 12 points, right, in the second half. You have to come to that realization long before then, I feel like.
Yeah, 100 block shots. It's 100 shots, man. That's what we're going to do. You've got to come to that realization. That was tough. That was tough to watch. It was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen, though. You don't see – I mean, that happened quick. They didn't score for like 50 minutes of actual real time. That's something you saw in that Colorado State game. That's just something Virginia would do, you know, not scoring for that long. It was tough to watch. I felt for him. I felt for those guys at Illinois in that game.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was absolutely devastating to watch. All right, we'll come back. We'll touch on some bets maybe that we've made already on the Final Four. And a whole lot more. Got UConn travel issues. Is that something to consider in this handicap? We'll get to that when we come back. You're watching BetQLU on Odyssey Sports on the BetQL Network. We'll be back after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back to BetQLU here, getting you ready for the Final Four. And listen, it is in some ways exactly what we expected. And in others, it is certainly not. And so I think that's kind of the intrigue of it. But let's just sort of take these one by one, RJ. I already have one bet. I'm leaning on another. But in terms of first game, it's NC State as the 11 versus number one seeded Purdue. That number is currently 9.5, total of 145 and a half, shaded towards the over, as you can see over there on BetMGM. NC State has just been a darling. They've covered every number. They beat the crap out of Duke. They have taken advantage of their circumstances. They were a buzzer beater away against Virginia in the ACC tournament to not even coming close to making the tournament. And they have parlayed that fortune all the way to the Final Four. It's amazing. I think it's probably the most unlikely Final Four run we've ever seen. And the reason I say that is because, like, yes, there are teams that come from lower level leagues that have crashed the party before, but they were good in their leagues, right? Like, they were 30-win type teams. They were experienced. You know the formula. This NC State team was just mediocre. They were sub-500 in their league. They just never looked the part. And they're here. So
yep.
I don't know, RJ. Is it something that you just keep riding the magic carpet of Kevin Keats, or is this where the razzle dazzle finally falls off and fades away?
Well, they're facing a really good team and a really unstoppable force. And, you know, I know that the NFL wants a piece of DJ Burns, but I don't know if they're going to get it. I've decided to stay away from this game altogether for that very reason. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, this is a pretty improbable run. You know, if I remember right, Kentucky, I think it was here in Dallas when they went to the championship. I think it was the year UConn won with Shabazz. Kentucky was like an 8 seed. They knocked off Wichita State. It was undefeated, and they make their way. It was a very improbable Kentucky run, but still Kentucky. You know, they're still a good team. They're always a good team. Right. This is different, man. I'm with you. In the grand scheme of things, VCU was a very good team when they made their run. Butler was a very good team when they made both of their runs. We George Mason, they had a good year.
Yeah,
had a good year. NC State had a bad year. And so, what is the difference? This is the equivalent of, like, I don't know, LSU making a run in the men's game this year, or Ole Miss, right? Or that's what this is. That's what this is this season. This is not West Virginia. Same kind of thing. That's what this would have been like. And here they are. Kudos to them, man. Kudos to that fan base has stuck by them for years. I remember watching NC State games as a kid where that court was made of rubber. It wasn't wood. They had a rubber court. It was the weirdest damn thing. And I'm sure the players' knees loved it. But I'm old enough to remember those days at the old shoebox they played in. But it's good for them. This has been a fun run.
And look, yeah, that's the only bet I've made so far this week is Purdue. I bet it when it was 8.5, pretty much immediately. Because you tend to see this, I feel like, anecdotally. I don't really have any, like, stats to back this up, but it just feels like this way to me. Like, the team that overachieves and makes a magical run gets to the first game of that Final Four. And, like, we cannot forget that this NC State team had to win the ACC tournament. What is that, five games?
Five games in 5 days. Did you know they had more? They had more wins in the ACC tournament that week than the Wizards have had at home all year? In the same building?
Damn.
The same building.
That is brutal. That is brutal if you're a Wizards fan. Oh, my God. Oh, that's devastating. But, yeah, like, I can't put that out of my head. Like, hey, they beat Duke. Maybe they just have something going with the ACC right now, and it's just they're the hot hand in the ACC. But I think this is where DJ Burns, who kept them alive for the entirety of this run, I think this is where he kind of hits the post a little bit, because it's 7'4". It's a 7-foot-tall post. And it's also he weighs more than DJ Burns, right? So if you want to say that, oh, well, no. I mean, Zach Edey's, it's distributed differently, but he's 300 pounds. And so I don't think, even if DJ Burns is able to create a little bit of space, you know, sort of inside, right, Zach Edey's length is going to be a big problem, I think, for DJ Burns in a way that, like, Filipowski was getting sent into the stands, right? I mean, he had nothing for DJ Burns. I thought that was an absolutely devastating day for Kyle Filipowski's stock. But Edey's going to be a very different story.
Yeah, it's back-to-back years of the tournament for Filipowski like that he got bullied. It's back-to-back years he got bullied by a big guy. You know, the thing is, there's a way to beat Purdue, and it ain't the way NC State plays. Like, that's the thing.
Exactly.
You know, it's just not the way they play. You're not going to beat them. That could be a trouble for UConn, although I do think they have the ability down. They have enough guys around the perimeter to be able to keep them honest. So I think that gives UConn an advantage there. But, I mean, you saw, like, you know, how did Tennessee stay in the game? They stayed in the game because they were really good from beyond the arc. Had nothing to do with the guys underneath. It had nothing to do with Adu or Awaka. It was everybody else. Right. I mean, it was connect, really. But that's what you got to do. You've got to have guys. And the way NC State plays, that ain't the formula to beat Purdue.
Right. So I think that's the key for me in this one. In the end, I think this is where you see the NC State team become who they were, who they always have been. And I will say this, Purdue has very quietly been just as dominant as UConn. I mean, I've been riding them for pretty much the entirety of the tournament. I bet them, sorry, RJ, I bet them against Tennessee. I bet them against Gonzaga. I bet them in this one. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen the look-aheads on Purdue-UConn. Purdue plus six. I'm going to bet them again. I know that's kind of crazy, and it's breaking my rule of not fading UConn, but I feel like that's too many against a Purdue team that, and yeah, I am breaking the code. For 6 points, two possessions, Purdue is playing amazing basketball. And now I think we talked about this all year about Purdue being different or at bats or how to properly assess a job. Well, RJ, damn, how different is everything now that they've gotten to a Final Four? We feel differently about the whole thing, don't we? I mean, Matt Painter's not the butt of anybody's jokes anymore.
No, he's not. We do feel differently about him. UConn's a different animal, but so is Zach Edey. Like, he's just a different dude. And then they have to face them without seeing them. You know, Tennessee had an advantage. They saw him already. They already knew, and it still didn't work. To go up there and not see them before and still have to go up and figure that out, it's tough ass.
It's pretty similar. It's really tough. It played out pretty damn close to the Maui game, you know, just in terms of the cadence of it, right? The fouls and everything. I mean, it was pretty similar. You know, those teams are pretty evenly matched.
Yeah, they were. And UConn and Purdue are. They are. And that game did play out a lot like Maui. I think it was 4 points versus six. I mean, whatever. It's the same thing. It's a shot here or there. It's a foul. It's a free throw here or there. It did turn out pretty similar. And that's what teams are going to have to figure out when they go up against Purdue. Because, you know, the difference with Purdue this year and last year is they got guys on the outside that can hit shots. You know, I'll tell you this. If you're a UConn fan, they're annoying. And I'll tell you, Sister Jean, you are no longer public enemy number one for me. I hope you live wonderful life the rest of the way. I hope you live a wonderful life. I'm sorry for all the mean things I said about you. I do think you're not taking that vow of poverty very seriously sometimes, but that's neither here nor there. But I'll tell you this, Purdue and their fan base and those guards, man, there is a new villain in the Choppy household, that's for damn sure.
How about that? Well, you mentioned it, UConn. UConn is this is just almost unbelievable. An 11.5-point favorite in the Final Four. They were an 8.5-point favorite at close against Illinois. Absolutely destroyed them, went on that 30-0 run. It is as dominant a championship run in any sport that I have ever seen. Just in terms of just obliterating the margin, obliterating the spread. They have been just week after week killing everybody. And now they have the travel thing. And on one hand, it's like, well, that's a minor inconvenience and Hurley superstitious and weird. But he's also going to probably use this as a us against the world thing. Do you factor that in at all when you're thinking about this handicap against Alabama, the fact that they're getting there a little later than they expected?
Oh, baby, you bet your butt I am. I will tell you that. You could make this line 25, and I would take UConn. That is, I mean, the NCAA, if there is a conspiracy out there to try to tire them out, all you did was fuel them. Dan Hurley is going to use something completely unrelated to Alabama as motivation to destroy Alabama. This is going to be an epic destruction, I think. And I always root for the SEC. I'll root for Alabama in this game. I don't like UConn anyway. There is nothing that would prevent me from betting UConn. They could play their backups, and I would take the 11.5. This is Dan Hurley is going to put on a motivational clinic on Saturday, without question.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to disagree. I think the only way is if it's an ungodly amount of threes, and that's what they do, right? That is what they do. But they're gonna have to shoot an out of body clip, and I will say that is different than what Illinois tried to do. Illinois just tried to take it right to him and punch him in the mouth, and you can't. That's what UConn does, and they do it way better than you. So I do think stylistically, you know, there's a chance that it could be a little bit more challenging because UConn's not a great shooting team. We saw that when Klingon was off the floor, they really kind of struggled against Illinois. But I just am no way in shape or form running to the window to bet this. Why would I do that? I mean, dude, Alabama's way overachieved to get to this point. I think you'd have to give me 19.5, 20.5.
Oh, to bet Bama?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, look at that money line. Look at that. -750 in a Final Four?
In the Final Four. No, I know. It's nuts. It's nuts. Plus 525 does not feel like it's good enough, right? Like, it's like, no. I need more. I need 7-1, 8-1. I need something crazy. 525 is not enough for me.
Dude, Bama was like top 15 for like half the year. This is a Final Four. This isn't a 3-14 game. This is a Final Four. Come on, man.
I know.
-750.
It's just as dominant as you will ever see. Seriously. Two years replacing NBA players, placing lottery picks, and they're still right back where they were. They covered every game last year in the tournament. They've covered every game this year in the tournament. 10 straight tournament covers for UConn. I was on pretty much the wrong side of all of them last year. I'm glad I stuck to my principles about this one. I'm like, I'm not trying to scalp them. I'm taking my ego out. I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm not saying I'm betting on them, but I'm not betting against them. So lesson learned there, without a doubt. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, the only way I can look in this one, I think I like the over. I don't think Alabama is going to be able to stop UConn whatsoever. I just don't think they're going to string together 3, 4, 5 stops at a time. Don't think they're capable. And Alabama is going to chuck threes, which even if they miss, will lead to transition opportunities for UConn and long rebounds. Yeah. So I like the over in that one. I think that's going to be okay. That's the way I would look in this one. Spread, you know, again, UConn or nothing, but I think the over definitely looks good, even at a total like 160.5. All right, been a lot of coaching movement, so we'll touch on that, coaching changes in college basketball, and more on the other side. You're watching BetQLU on the BetQL Network, Odyssey Sports. We'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to BetQLU here on the BetQL Network. I'm John Martin. He is RJ Choppy. We're talking all things college basketball, all things Final Four. We previewed Purdue and NC State. We previewed UConn and Alabama. There's also been some coaching developments recently. Busy coaching carousel, as always, RJ. Eric Musselman expected to be named the next coach at USC, leaving Arkansas after what you would say is an overall very successful tenure. A couple of Elite Eights, some good basketball he has helped put together there in Fayetteville, but he's taking it to USC now, replacing Andy Enfield. What do you make of the move first for Musselman getting back sort of out to his West Coast roots and taking over at USC?
I like the move for Musselman. If that's where his roots are, and he did not have a very good year at Arkansas, he has had a pretty good run. But if you're a more of a West Coast guy, go do it. I'll be honest with you, that's a brutal, brutal job right now. You have 6-hour flights in your future, quite a bit of them. That's a brutal, brutal job. Do they care about basketball? See, that's the other thing you got to ask yourself. You know, do they care about basketball as much at USC as they do at Arkansas? The answer is no. Does that mean that you're? We could have the same kind of situation with Arkansas and Musselman that Andy Enfield had at USC. Were they going to give him an extension? That's what these coaches want. They want an extension. They're always wanting an extension. Were they going to give him one? I don't know. I thought he was a good enough coach to give him one. I would have given him one if I was Arkansas. Did they peak with him? Sure, but I mean, you know, Elite Eights, it's pretty damn good. I mean, they could have been in a situation where they've made it to a Final Four, another one. So yeah, he's a legit coach. I like him a lot. It's the same thing with Lincoln Riley, though, man. I know Oklahoma football is an elite job, but you're telling somebody that I can make millions of dollars and live in Santa Monica or Malibu versus Fayetteville. Like, I know Fayetteville is beautiful, but come on. Like, there's just right. There's only so much you can do about the ocean. You know, there's only two oceans in this country, and they got one of them. So it's tough. It's tough to say no to that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And also, when you look at Musselman's career, he's just sort of a vagabond, right? I don't mean that like in a negative way, but maybe nomad is the more politically correct term there. Then we'll go with nomad. How about that?
Vagabond, I know you like to a commute. Politically incorrect term? I don't know. Is that I'm about to go Google this one.
Like, I think it's like you're homeless if you're a vagabond. He's not homeless.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I was like, what are we talking about? I was like, is this a Kim Mulkey LA Times kind of situation? We got to Google the word, see exactly what it means.
He's a nomad, I would say. He's a coaching nomad. He hasn't really been anywhere in his career for more than 5 years. So it feels like, you know, there's an expiration date. I saw somebody put that on social media today, and I think it's true. Like, he kind of grinds on you. He wears on you a little bit, and he likes to move around. He likes to move around. So, you know, the years will be good, but it's not going to be a lifetime contract situation like you see in college basketball with Musselman. But he will win. The reality is that he absolutely will win the former coach of the Chinese national team. Did you know that trivia about Eric Musselman?
I forgot it. I don't think I knew that.
He coached China, the United States, Dominican Republic, and Venezuela. All four nations he has coached.
Man, he's a coaching lifer. You will never get this guy to retire.
Yes, he wants to coach every nation, every team ever. He will not rest until he's the coach in every league in America and every team in America. For Arkansas, you know, from the people that I talk to, it sounds like it's a very attractive job, that they'll be able to, you know, focus on their list of candidates and get a good one. Who makes sense to you at Arkansas, and what direction do you think they should go?
Are they wanting, from who you've talked to, are they wanting a name, or are they wanting to have an up-and-coming young coach hire an assistant that route?
Oh, I think they want a name, baby. They want some flash.
It's a great question. I mean, can they get Porter Mosier to leave Oklahoma?
The names that you hear are Chris Beard, Jerome Tang, and Will Wade. Those are the three names that you hear come up the most.
The easy one is Will Wade. You would be thumbing your nose at the rival down south at LSU, who had to get rid of him. We have seen a coach leave a school because of violations, go to another SEC school and dominate. That's Bruce Pearl. We've seen that. I think that's the one that I would absolutely go to. I think Will Wade is a fantastic coach. I think he's a sleazeball, but I think he's a fantastic coach. And they would own Memphis again. They would own certain recruiting hotbeds, St. Louis, Memphis. You know, you're not terribly far from Dallas-Fort Worth. I love the Chris Beard idea because he does have Texas ties. And Arkansas, did you know Arkansas, there's so many kids from Texas that go to Arkansas. Arkansas now gives in-state tuition to Texas high school kids. It's crazy. Yeah, you finish at a certain level of your class. So
That's a Texarkana connection right there.
Right, it is. So they got a lot of kids from Texas that go to school at Arkansas. I mean, I think Beard would make sense there. I think Chris Beard's fantastic. I love him as a head coach. As a guy, I mean, that's a different story. But as a head coach,
right?
I think there's no doubt that he can coach there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the beautiful thing is that you can sort of have your pick. So many programs think they can, and so few do. So it feels like Arkansas is definitely going to be able to choose who they want and not have to settle. You know, we saw that at Louisville. Louisville thought that they were a certain spot in the hierarchy, and they got humbled. You know, they had to go with their second, third, fourth choice in Pat Kelsey. Arkansas will not have to do that.
Well, I mean, it all depends on your NIL money. That's what this is about. What's your budget? What is your budget? You know, because remember did they get Dana Altman for a hot minute, and he was like, "Nah, I'm out."
Yeah.
If their budget's high, then they can get somebody. If it's not, then I think they might struggle.
100%. Yes, and I think they do have a budget. They want. I mean, look, they feel like, and they should feel like, they can compete. You know, I mean, they were in the Elite Eight two straight years. I mean, they've proven that they can, that they belong at the, you know, highest level of college basketball. Those fans are nuts. I mean, they are so passionate there about Arkansas basketball, and that's really where it sort of comes from, right? If you have a passionate fan base and you've got the Walmart money, which they do, I think they're going to be okay. I think they're going to be able to find some money for the NIL budget at Arkansas. So you've got everything you need, and I suspect that they'll absolutely be able to, keep that thing rolling, get that thing rolling. I mean, listen, I don't know what happened this year. There were a few teams around the country that you're just like, what went wrong? And that's one of them, you know, Memphis, Arkansas, definitely, you know, Michigan. I mean, there's a lot of schools that you could say that are like that, but absolutely right. They're one good hire away from being right back. One good get from being right back. SMU, which of course this is all related. SMU went with Andy Enfield. Does that feel random to you, or do you think it's a good hire for them as they venture into the ACC?
It's very random. I did not think that Rob Lanier deserved to get fired. He went from 10 wins to 20 wins in his second year at SMU. And then Absolutely. Now they're going up in weight class. They're going to the ACC next year. They wanted a name. From what I've been told, there's this one guy who basically got Rob Lanier here. He was big into that. He's like, I want Andy Enfield. All right. I want that guy here. Wow. We all remember him from Dunk City at Florida Gulf Coast. Maybe Bronny. Maybe he brings Bronny to town. From what I heard, his girlfriend goes to SMU, whatever. So yeah, this is an exciting hire. It's for SMU. They're not obviously a top tier team. They're going to a top tier conference. They've got to get a bigger name coach than what they had. They think that's their philosophy. I don't think Rob Lanier did anything to deserve getting fired, to be honest with you. But you know, maybe this is a start for them. It's a good program if you get into a major conference, which they are. A lot of talent here.
Mm-hmm.
They keep the talent and stay in the city. They'll be just fine. We saw what they did with Larry Brown.
Yes.
They could do things.
Yes. Now they can, and they have the resources. It just kind of felt like Andy Enfield kind of taking the golden parachute and getting out of Dodge. I'm with you 100%. I think it's just bad juju for your program, bad karma for your program when you fire a coach that – had turned that around, and he landed on his feet in the same league, right? He got hired at Rice 2 days after he got fired at SMU. And that goes to show you that that's no accident. I hate when coaches are done like that. There's a lot of times where it's justified, where guys, you know, overstay their welcome. But in that case, it was a wrongdoing, no doubt. And, we'll see if SMU gets their penance for it, but I'm with you. I did not like the way that was handled. Hey, that's going to do it for this week's edition of BetQLU. It should be an absolutely classic set of games. With any justice, we'll get the two best teams in the country facing off. Clingan versus Edie, UConn versus Purdue, 2-1 seeds, the two teams that have been the best all season long in college basketball. It's very rare, RJ, that we get that, right? Very rare that we get the objective two best teams in the country. Do you have any futures right now pending other than UConn, or are you just kind of riding it out at this point?
I'm just going to ride it out game to game. I got UConn, and I'll take your advice. I did go with Purdue. I'll take you on that one, but I'll take UConn to win it all, obviously, and I'll see what the line officially becomes when that game is. Yeah. But I'll wind up taking UConn in that one, I'm sure.
UConn minus 190. Yep, they are. They're minus 190 right now to win it all. Hey, that's going to do it for us today on this edition of BetQLU. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks for tuning in while we broke everything down. For RJ Choppy, I'm John Martin. Enjoy the games, and we'll see you soon.